Hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion, and as always, so thankful that you've chosen to join us on the Drivecast today. Looking once again at Matthew 18 in this Forgiven series, and coming out of this past Sunday, one of the things we talked through is just beginning to ask the why behind the servant's unforgiveness toward his fellow servant. We've established clearly that we are to forgive. We've established clearly that this servant should clearly understand that he needs to forgive, and yet he storms out and he immediately goes and demands the 100 denarii. And the question becomes, why? Why is this his response? And therefore then, the question personally becomes, well, I know that I should forgive. I know that I have been forgiven much, and yet at times I still forgive little. Why is that? What's going on in my heart? And one of the points that we dug into was that we forgive others to the degree we have grasped how completely God has forgiven us. And so the reason this became a point is when looking back at the interaction between the servant and the king. When the king desires to settle accounts and the servant is brought and it's found that he owes 10,000 talents, his immediate response is, so the servant, in verse 26, fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And then when he's forgiven, sort of incomprehensibly so, the servant's response is not praise. It's not thank you. It's not, this is incredible. It's not, I am so undeserving of this. It's immediately, verse 28, but when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. And I want to be careful here in the sense that this is conjecture, but it would seem as though he's still in a repayment mindset. The reality is he has been forgiven, and yet he wants to go out and get back as much money as he can, because it seems that nowhere on his radar was forgiveness. What he really wanted was an extended payment plan. And I wonder if sometimes we're operating on a similar principle. We maybe theologically understand that we are forgiven, and yet we operate as though we've still got to earn our place before God. We still have to earn our forgiveness before God. And so what can happen as it relates to forgiveness is because we're still in a earn it mindset, we're still in a pay it back mindset, we naturally then expect others to be in a similar situation to us. We think we need to earn God's favor, so therefore then we work really hard. Then when somebody sins against us, we take the same approach we have between us and God, between us and them. We say, well, I'm working super hard to win God's favor. You need to work super hard to win my favor. And so what can happen is we operate in a mode of, yeah, there's grace, but they need to earn it just like I need to earn it with God. And maybe that's not consciously considered, but maybe subconsciously that's what's happening. Maybe if we haven't taking the time to really sit down and think, why do I behave this way? Why do I function this way? Why do I still go and seek out revenge almost? Why do I still feel like people owe me? Maybe it's because you still feel like you owe God. And so what I want us to do is just meditate on scripture and understand, you know what? God has forgiven us. God has taken our sins and they are as far gone as the east is from the west. They're gone. God has forgiven us. He has, through Christ, made a way for us to approach Him. Colossians 2, 13 and 14 says it this way. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. Our sin is nailed to the cross. It's gone. And as Christians then, the sins committed against us, we then have the capacity to forgive because we have been forgiven. And that doesn't mean there needs to be reconciliation. There's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. The Bible commands forgiveness. It desires reconciliation. It commands forgiveness. It desires reconciliation. But here's the thing. Reconciliation requires repentance from the person who has sinned against you. But you can't even have the hope of reconciliation until you have forgiveness. If reconciliation is a bridge, forgiveness is the foundation upon which that bridge is built. You might try and have reconciliation, but if you haven't laid that foundation of forgiveness, that bridge is going to crumble. But what the scripture is telling us here is that we are commanded to forgive just as, or in response to, the forgiveness we have received in Christ. And so let's meditate on that. Let's think through that. And then let's ask God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, to allow us to forgive those who have sinned against us. And with that in mind, I want to pray for us. I want to say thanks again for joining us on the DriveCast. I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Father, we praise you and thank you that according to these verses and so many others in scriptures, that you have set aside our sin by nailing it on the cross. Jesus, thank you for taking upon yourself my sin. Father, thank you for choosing to pour out your wrath against my sin upon Christ instead of me. Father, then help me in response to that to not pour out my wrath upon others for their sins against me, but realize that I am so undeservedly forgiven that I need to forgive others even when they don't deserve it. Lord, help us in that. Help us reflect Christ in that. And Lord, through that, bring reconciliation, because that is your desire. But help us lay that foundation of forgiveness. Lord, we need you in this, and we ask that you would do it in Christ's name. Amen.